Today on What's the Mood, we have the founder himself, John Underwood. John is a former NCAA All-American, an international-level distance runner, and World Masters champion. Among many things, John has coached and advised more than 24 Olympians, including world and Olympic champions. Today, we have the privilege in this two-part episode to talk all things sleep with John. You are in for a treat. Let's take a listen.
So anyway, here's a concept for you that you could think about. Sleep hygiene, it's a simple, because it's a number, 10-3-2-1-0. And what it basically comes down to is that, you know, 10 is how many hours out you want to stop any use of caffeine. And it actually can be even 12, and I'll tell you why. 12 hours before you're going to go to sleep, you don't want any caffeine. So if you took in caffeine, I'm going to tell you why. Say at 12 noon you drink a whole bunch of coffee or take a whole bunch of caffeine into your system. So that's noontime. The half-life for caffeine, meaning how long it will take to get half of it out of your system, is 5 to 6 hours. So the half-life is 5 to 6 hours, which makes the quarter life of caffeine 10 to 12 hours. So if you have at noontime caffeine, mm-hmm. a quarter of that caffeine is still in your system at midnight. You get it?
Yeah.
So that can cause for sure a sleep disturbance. That can actually blunt the ability of time or decrease the ability of time that you will be in total sleep. Meaning, so you won't sleep 8 hours. Maybe you'll wake up after six, or maybe you'll have disturbances so that you really don't get these really important bouts of REM. It'll decrease total REM sleep. That would be what's called the quality of your sleep. Quality of your sleep is how many times do you go in REM? Mm-hmm. And rapid eye movement sleep, maybe you have 3, 4, 5 bouts or bursts of REM in a whole 8 hours of sleep. I already told you that. That will add up to 1.5 to 2 hours, 1.5 to 2.5 hours. So you need 1.5 to 2.5 hours of REM to get the full benefit of 8 hours of sleep and all those physiological functions. So sort of important, if you think 10 hours out, you got to stop taking any caffeine, or 12 hours out, you shouldn't have any caffeine, which makes caffeine really a morning drink or a one-time-a-day drink. And we've always pushed that issue that, like, one time you use caffeine. You know, the maximum benefits of caffeine for mental and physical performance is that you take it about 45 minutes before you want to perform. So, you know, if you want to drink caffeine right up just before you perform, it won't be at levels in your system high enough to see the benefit of amplification of mental and physical performance. So 45 minutes before you perform any task, mentally or physically, if you take caffeine, you will actually amplify mental and physical performance. I'm not going to kid you. But if you think you can just, like, have some and then you're tired and have some more and have some more and have some more and keep taking it all day like people do, and people do this at the office too. You feel tired, you take more. Then you go get another cup of coffee. Then you go over to Starbucks and have another one. You go to the snack bar and have another one. And the same thing with energy drinks. You can't just dose yourself every time you feel like you're starting to, you know, slow down or fail or have no energy. That's not the purpose of it. You know, one-time use of caffeine just before you perform 45 minutes out is the optimal use of caffeine. Mm-hmm. And we've used that in a lot of venues. So 10 was this, I told you this sleep hygiene number scheme, 10-3-2-1-0. So the 10 is 10 to 12, actually, which is, you know, how many hours out you would, you know, take or not take caffeine. Mm-hmm. And then 3 is physical work or high level mental or physical work. So 3 hours before sleep, you don't want to have a lot. It's like why we tell people you can't do like a workout and then go home and sleep. Because if you do a physical workout, like go lift weights at night, anybody who's ever done it, you'll be laying in your bed counting the ceiling tiles, but you won't be falling asleep. Because when you do heavy physical work and power outputs, especially high intensity, speed, power, those kind of things, or real hard practice or a game, a lot of times, like Julie said, you're wired after and you feel like so wired and jazzed up. And the reason is you've released all those androgenic hormones, testosterone, human growth hormone. Your body has done some damage from physical work. So your body, if you ever worked a really hard day physically, I don't know what, you know, dragging brush or chopping firewood or doing heavy physical labor all day and you're exhausted at the end of the day. Sometimes you're physically exhausted, but you go to bed and you're just rolling around in your bed and you go like, oh my God, I'm exhausted and I can't fall asleep. It's because you have all those hormones floating around your system and your system's unable to shut down and calm down and reach a status where you could actually transition from being awake to falling asleep. So 3 hours out, you don't want to do a lot of high-level mental or physical work. 1 hour out, you don't want to do any technology. So you don't want to be playing on your computer, your phone, watching screens, watching TV, being exposed to the blue light that comes from that frequency. And the zero at the end is the next day when your alarm rings or you got to get up, don't hit the snooze button. That's zero because the biggest single impact of starting your day is that you awaken and you get up and you get going. And a lot of it has to do with the exposure to daylight. When you expose yourself to daylight, guess what happens? You shut off melatonin. And melatonin is what's, if you hit the snooze button, you stay in bed. It just takes you longer to get going. It takes you longer to shut off your release of melatonin, which makes you feel groggy and tired. And then you're sleepy all morning till noontime.
Yeah,
So that's
that's a
sort of.
helpful tool, John. 10-3-2-1-0. It's practical. I thought maybe we could end on what I think is fascinating. We've talked about it previously. When we hit zero, and you say don't hit the snooze, can you speak a bit to the alpha state and mindset? Because I think that's a great way to end as we talk
Really,
about
really important.
content.
Really, really, really interesting. Like I was saying, like brainwaves. If you look at all the different kinds of brainwaves, like if they hook up the electrodes to your skull, and they have now these neural net and all these different like they have actual devices that they can put on. It almost looks like a bathing cap, and it's got these big sensors on it, and they can look at all the different brainwaves in the brain, and they can tell when you go into REM. They can see it. They can say, "Oh, because REM brainwaves when you go into REM are just very unique." All right, and it's a level of deep sleep that's unlike any other. But they can also tell in the morning when you wake up, like what's the status of those brainwaves is. And alpha state is really interesting. When you have alpha state brainwaves, you're totally relaxed. You actually, what happens is your brainwaves are, it's such a unique printout of brainwaves that your muscles are totally relaxed. Actually, if they put those muscle EMGs, which are the sensors that we do studies on human muscle to see which muscles are activated during different kinds of work and how the muscles function, like for instance in weightlifting, they've done EMG studies where they can tell from your feet up to your lifting a bar with a ton of weight over your head, like in an Olympic lift. They can watch the muscles fire, all the way up, and they know the firing patterns from the floor to the weights over your head. Well, what happens is when you're in alpha state, you're totally relaxed. And this is sort of like the calming down of your muscle systems so that when you're ready to sleep, your muscles are totally relaxed. There's no impulses, they're not contracting, they're only relaxing. And you just go to sleep because you're able to transition. If you don't have alpha brainwaves, it's very difficult. This is where they have these things like restless leg syndrome, like people are making jerky movements and like they're almost asleep and then they snap out of it and their muscles are actually firing still. I mean, you've been using them all day. So it's interesting to realize that when you wake up in the morning and you've had a really good night's sleep, you'll have alpha state, meaning you'll have those alpha brain waves and you'll be totally calm and relaxed. And the interesting thing about that is, and this is another quote that I think it was Matt Walker from Australia said it. He said, "How the first hour of your day can determine the next 23." All right, if you have alpha brainwaves when you wake up in the morning, you're totally relaxed, no movement. The muscles are like, they're just totally chilling. And the other interesting thing is that when you're in alpha state, you have very, very high level cognition to linking the first things that happen to you. Like for instance, I know we've done a lot of work on mood and mindset, like so that you start your day, if you start your day thinking a bunch of negative stuff, you can have the whole day ruined and the rest of the day you're thinking negative crap, I'll say it. And it really it can set an agenda, or it can set a level of focus where you're just thinking a whole bunch of negative stuff. Or same thing, if you hit the snooze button, like Julie just liked that example, rather than get up, wake up, and get going, and set an agenda that, okay, I know what I got to do today. I've got it all mapped out. I need to start doing it. Instead, maybe you're procrastinating all day, or you're thinking negative thoughts all day, or whatever task you link to alpha state tends to be very, very, very productive. So first thing in the morning, I mean, by turning off the snooze button and by laying there and thinking, okay, no, I'm not good for this. I'm not ready for this. Okay, you're not ready for it. And maybe you won't be ready for it for the next 23 hours. So it's a dangerous scenario that, you slept 8 hours and now it's time to awaken and to go back from sleep state to wake state, and to have already some kind of a plan and agenda. It's like a lot of times, if you say, okay, when I wake up, I got to just get up and go, right? That a big part of it's getting up and getting out of bed. And so I think that's the zero that comes into play on that scheme with the numbers, which is sort of interesting and sort of unique. And I have some I actually have some graphics that we're going to put underneath this podcast, which will explain some of this stuff for you guys. And remember that zero is not to hit the snooze button. So it goes 10 to 12 is the caffeine. So it could be 10 or 12, 3, 2, 1, 0. 3 is the food. You don't want to take a bunch of a big amount of solid food into your digestive tract, because that's a huge source of those sleep disturbances. 2 is work. 1 is technology. So an hour out before you're going to go to sleep, you cannot be on any form of technology. And then 0 is the next morning when you awaken the snooze. So that's those. And I think now I would like to slip to another thing that's totally connected. And that's that you've all heard of the circadian rhythms or the circadian clock, meaning our body doesn't, all these amazing things that happen in 24 hours don't just happen. It's not random at all. It's all planned. A lot of it has to do with darkness and light. Okay, when it gets dark, why do people sleep at night? Well, when it gets dark, we start to release melatonin. Melatonin puts us asleep, right? It deactivates a lot of things in our body so we can actually transition and fall asleep. So I wrote these down because it was so interesting. And I'll have this chart for you. And again, and it'll go underneath this discussion when it's published and put up on their site. Deepest form of sleep is 2 a.m. in the morning. So if you fall asleep, you go to bed at a reasonable hour, you drop your melatonin, your brain waves calm down, and you actually transition from being awake to falling asleep. Deepest level of sleep, and for sure a level of sleep where you'll go into REM, is about 2 a.m. Lowest body temperature, 4:30 in the morning, meaning for some reason our body, our core temperature, our skin temperature takes its biggest drop and is lowest 4:30 in the morning. Blood pressure, the biggest increase, 6 o'clock in the morning. Look, we're not even up yet, but our body is already increasing our blood pressure because guess what? Circadian rhythms, or these functions, your body is conditioned and knows that you have to raise your blood pressure when you awaken and when you get up and start moving around. Okay, so there's another one. Melatonin shuts off at 7 o'clock in the morning. How ironic, right? Turns on at night, shuts off at it actually turns on and elevates at 9 p.m. So at 9 p.m., melatonin starts being put out at levels that start to make you get more and more tired. So you can fall asleep. At 7 o'clock, it turns off. Bowel activation, 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, everybody, most human beings, regularly your bowels activate, in the morning. And a lot of it has to also do with taking in food to your system too with breakfast. Biggest increase in testosterone, 9 o'clock in the morning. Highest levels of testosterone, 9 o'clock in the morning. So for training purposes, your hormones are at their highest level, those training hormones, in the morning. That's why it's so good to do morning training if you can. The training effect, if the training hormones are higher, can you have greater training effect take place? Absolutely. Greatest levels of alertness, 10 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Highest levels of cognition, thinking ability, 10 to 1. What did we tell the National Department of Education besides let kids come to school later? With ridiculously early school times, we also said put all your most important curriculum and classes like Regents and honors classes and all that stuff, put them between 10 and 1 because kids will be awake enough to learn and function and remember and so forth. And the highest levels of cognition are 10 to 1. You ever see what happens after lunch when you sort of go into that like mid-afternoon, energy dropout where you sort of feel like all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I feel like I need a nap. That's because you probably need a nap. Highest levels of physical coordination, which is a lot to do with the coordination between your motor cortex and your cerebellum, which is in the back of your brain. They have to work together. 2:30 in the afternoon. That's great for having highest level coordination at 2:30 when you guys got practice at 3, right? Greatest level of reaction time, your fastest reaction time, 3:30 in the afternoon. Great. Practice is you're in practice, you get the highest levels of reaction time. That only helps you. Highest levels of cardiovascular efficiency, meaning heart and lungs and delivery of oxygen to the working muscles, 5 o'clock the afternoon. Highest levels of blood pressure, 6:30, so in the afternoon, 6:30 at night. Highest body temperature reached at 7 o'clock at night. The highest increase in, or also the highest levels of melatonin, 9 o'clock at night. Your bowels deactivated, 10:30 at night. Okay, so you turn off your the you turn off foods moving through your intestines. A lot of the food is then, is sitting in your intestines in your lower gut. And your body's trying to take nutrients out of it and so forth. So anyway, these are your circadian rhythms that your body develops from the time you're a baby. What time you eat, what time you sleep, what time you get up, what time you go down, all these things. And you become conditioned and your body sort of starts to run these as a almost like a, you think of like a computer program that you install on your computer, right? Well, this is like your circadian rhythms are the is like the program that runs all your physiological functions. And one of the things that they said in this interview, which was interesting, is that 100% of mental health issues, so for certainly for you, Julie, and you people who are doing counseling with adolescents and people who have had trauma and stress and PTSD and everything, 100% of mental health issues show some level of circadian disruption. So if you disrupt your circadian rhythms, for instance, like I was just in Europe for 70 some days, all that changes when you go over there. You're going to bed at a different time, you're getting up at a different time, you're eating your meals at a different time. It gets all screwed up and there's no normalcy left, so you can actually start to have problems. And it also has to do with a lot of the reloading of the neurotransmitters. If your neurotransmitter depleted, your mood and mindset turns to negativism, negative outlooks, depression. People who have everything from short fuse syndrome, violent outbursts, anger, negative outlook, negative, scenarios where you think a lot of negative stuff. Instead of thinking positive thoughts, you think negative thoughts. Find somebody who's sleep deprived. You'll see it real quick. You know the scenario of a person who doesn't sleep, wakes up the next day. How do you feel? Do you feel all happy and nice and everything's fine, or do you feel a little bit on edge? You feel on edge, and there's reasons for it. So anyway, these things are all connected, and it's so interesting. And once you start to really understand the importance of sleep, and you start to, like I said, you're willing to make some small changes, you will start to see some huge impacts. And I think a lot of people, that's why they buy in. My message would to everyone, and this is to teachers, coaches, parents, people that spend time with kids, is impress upon kids from a very early age how important sleep is and how regular it has to be. When we started asking kids in those sleep surveys, what's your normal bedtime? You know what kids were saying? I don't know. I got lots of them, right? I mean, like, you can't go to bed one night at 10, the next night at midnight, the next night at 2 in the morning, the next night 8 o'clock because you're tired the next day. That doesn't help you because you've already disturbed all your body's systems and the circadian rhythms that actually make it happen. And I think that's a really good message for parents is in the old days, and this is my generation with my parents, and even, maybe you parents, your parents, someone used to say, hey, it's bedtime. And that's being said less and less nowadays. And, kids aren't just in their bedroom with their pillow and their bed. They're in their bedroom with a TV or a big screen or a computer or a phone in their hand or a play playing games or whatever. All these things have led us to think that that's somehow part of modern life, and it's not. What's part of modern life is that a human body is still a human body. A human body needs 8 hours of sleep. You need 1.5 to 2.5 hours of REM, or you're going to miss a lot of amazing things that could have happened and should have happened but didn't happen. And even if we took this a step further and we looked at the processing center in the brain that actually sends short-term memory information to the long-term memory so you can actually recall it and remember it. Like, so if you were studying, for instance, it stays in the short term, stays in the short term. At night, when you're asleep, it consolidates those memories and sends them to long term. It's almost like hitting save on your computer, where now you know it's saved and it's in your computer. Well, you could study some stuff and have it all in short term and not get enough sleep, and in particular, not go into REM. And what happens is it never downloads to your long term memory. So the next day, when you go and take the test, or you have to remember or take up where you were, it's not there. So there's another interesting scenario for you is to think about that. So I guess what it comes down to, Julie, is we're all capable of understanding this. This is not rocket science, but are we willing to put it into play? And I guess the rationale for me, because I spent so many times with and so many years with high level performers in all different venues, is that we're all capable and we all have to be willing. We have to be willing to have priorities. And I can tell you this right now, the priority is not what's on your TV screen. The priority is not what's on your phone or in your phone. The priority is not, things that don't matter or count. Where you put your time, effort and energy should dictate and determine what's important and what's not.
John,
And
thank you. I knew that asking you to prioritize and highlight this topic would bring exactly the information and challenge, frankly, that is really necessary and needed. So thank you. I think a lot of this information is going to be very, really helpful for the audiences. And I know we're talking about some future ways of partnering here at the Illinois Human Performance with you in the months and year ahead. So maybe a little tease for our audience of what could be to come here with you. And I just want to thank you for your time around this topic. It's really appreciated.
I appreciate that you guys have continued our project there, and we've helped lots of kids, maximize potential. I mean, I think that's it. It's like everyone has, I said it, everyone has talents. Everyone has a certain amount of potential, and as you work toward it, you realize that there's some things that really matter and count and that are important, and you can't pick and choose from the things the best people do. You have to do all the things they do and be looking for things that they're not doing. And I think it just comes down to our choices. And if you make better choices, it's not just that you'll win more things or that you'll perform at a higher level. You'll feel better. You'll live longer. You'll have less stress. You'll enjoy the quality of your life much more than if you just think you can do it all because you can't. And I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm just saying it because I've watched for my 43-year career, the people who are the best, not just because they're the most talented. It's because they take care of themselves.